50s. You remember that culture? Ron Clifford was like this fire evangelist, right? He would come in the tent meetings, and he would preach the word. He would pray for the sick. And one man, upon hearing him speak, said this guy could be one of the most gifted evangelists we've had in the church for many, many years. And then there was a third man, a little country preacher you may have heard of. His name was Billy Graham. And they started in ministry the same time. As a matter of fact, Billy Graham, I believe, worked with Chuck Templeton in founding a youth ministry together. But if you would have talked to Christians in the 40s and even in the 50s, and they would have bet money on who would be most successful, they wouldn't have put their money on Billy Graham. They would have said Chuck Templeton or Bron Clifford. They were the guys that came out of the gate really strong and fast. So what happened? Why do we not hear about these two guys? Let me tell you the rest of the story. Chuck Templeton left the ministry and he pursued a career in television and radio. He subsequently became an atheist. He departed from the church and from the faith, and he's a well-known man that you can read his story on the internet. Just Google Chuck Templeton and read about what he chose to do. Bron Clifford was married and had two Down syndrome children. He left his wife and their two Down syndrome children. He gave himself over to alcohol, financial mismanagement, and he actually eventually died of alcohol complications in Texas, all alone, in a hotel by himself. He was so destitute that the local ministers, they knew who he was, because this guy, Bron Clifford, was very well known. They passed the plate, took an offering for this guy, and they sent his body to a cemetery for the poor, and he was buried all alone. And now you know the rest of the story with Billy Graham, right? You see, when it's all said and done, it's not most important how you start. Not even the middle of your life is most important. It's how you finish. Finish strong and finish well. And I want to look at a man in the Bible with you this morning that had a great start to his life. I mean, he came out of the gate strong and he had a really good middle. And I wished I could tell you that he had a phenomenal ending, but I can't. So we're going to look at the beginning, the middle, and the end of this man's life. And his name is none other than King Solomon. And you guys know the story of King Solomon, but let's look at it together. I want to look at his beginning story when he was only 20 years old. Let's take a look in 1 Kings chapter 3. This is the start of his ministry, if you will, the start of his leadership. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. And this is when the Lord first appears to Solomon when he's a young man. Look at what happens here. The Bible says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask whatever you want me to give you. Now think about this. God is appearing to Solomon and saying, whatever you want, just ask me, and it's yours. This is like the ultimate Aladdin. This is the ultimate genie in the bottle. But the crazy thing is, this is for real. And many times we can read the Bible, and we read stories like this, and we just kind of go into Disney mode, and we think it's a fairy tale. This is not a fairy tale. This really happened. God appeared to a young man named Solomon, and he said, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And what did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. He said, I'm overwhelmed with this job. And God said, you know what? You did not ask for power. You did not ask for wealth. You asked for wisdom. Therefore, I'm going to give you wisdom. And Solomon became the wisest man that we've ever known. And he wrote the book of Proverbs. That's a great start. Let's look at the middle of his life. 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. This is when Solomon's about 40 years old. When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. Now listen to this next verse closely if you would. God said to Solomon, but if you or your descendants turn away and you do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you, and if you go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them, and I will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all the people." What's happening here? King Solomon's about 40 years old, and he has just oversaw the construction of God's temple, right? This is the dedication of the temple where he prays and the glory of God fills the temple, so much so that the priests can't even stand up to minister, right? They have to bow down and fall on the ground. And I believe what God is saying here to Solomon is he's saying this, "Son, you've done well. You asked for wisdom, I gave it to you. You've now oversaw the construction of my temple in Jerusalem that was in the heart of your father David. You've done very good." But if you don't look at the passage carefully, you miss what else is being said. He's warning Solomon. Did you see that? He's warning him. What is he saying to him? He's saying, finish strong. You've done good so far, but finish strong. Why would God say this to Solomon? Because God knows what's in the hearts of men. He knows the tendency of men to pursue sin and wickedness and to depart from the Lord. And so he looks at Solomon as a middle-aged man and he says, "I'm proud of you. You've done good, but finish well." Now, I wish I could stand up here and say to you, "Yes, Solomon did it. He finished strong." But that's not the story, is it? Let's look at the rest of the story. Let's look at Solomon's finish line here. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now this is Solomon as an old man. He's probably 75, 85 years old, very advanced in age. And this is how the Bible describes Solomon. The Bible says, "King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites. They were from the nations which the Lord had told the Israelites, 'You must not intermarry them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods.' Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed the Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifice to their gods." Now we're going to read verse 9, and if you would pay careful attention, it's very sobering. "The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice." Here we see the man of God, Solomon, the man of wisdom that started strong, who had a good middle. At the end of his life, he's turned from God. It's easy to read this passage, and if you don't understand church history and biblical archaeology, you don't understand what Solomon was doing. He was building idols to demons. You read Molech and Chemosh, you realize these were demons that the people, the pagans, would worship. And this man that built the temple for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now at the end of his life, was worshiping demons. And God became angry with him. And that was the finish. You know, I have an obsession in my life, and I'm going to share it with you this morning. We have a lot of obsessions in this culture, don't we? People are obsessed over many things. They're obsessed over internet pornography. They're obsessed over wealth. They're obsessed over media. And I have an obsession, and I'm just going to just want to be really transparent and confess this to you. Can I do that? Hopefully the pastor will have me back. Here's my obsession. I am obsessed with finishing life strong. It's my obsession. I think about it nearly every week of my life. I am obsessed with finishing life strong for my wife and my kids. My son Johnny's here right now. I'm obsessed with finishing life strong for the church, so that the end of my story will not be like Solomon's. And most of all, I'm obsessed with finishing life strong for the glory of God who saved me and died on the cross and rose again for me. I'm obsessed with this. And so I want to invite you to join me. And if you want to join me on this obsession and finish life strong, you can join the We're Obsessed with Finishing Life Strong Club. It's a new club I'm starting. I'll have a Facebook page soon. And if you want to join me with this obsession, I want to close in our final, you know, 5-10 minutes together. Just wrap this up, and I want to practically teach you how you can finish strong by going back to our main passage from the Apostle Paul. Let's look at what Paul said again. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Number one thing you need to understand is that if you want to finish life strong, you need to realize it's going to be a fight. Oh, I need to say that again, man, because some of you are not getting it. He said, I fought the good fight. If you want to finish life strong, you got to realize it's a fight. Man, it's a fight. It's not easy. You're not going to just prance into heaven without any battle wounds. Who do you need to fight? Well, you need to fight the devil. Peter made it very clear. Peter said, be alert, be sober. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you, but you must resist him firm in the faith. So the devil is a liar. He's an enemy, and we need to fight him. We need to fight him every day. But let me tell you this. I have discovered something over the past 25 years of being a Christian. My greatest enemy, the greatest fight that I have, is actually not the devil, and not demons. It's an old man named Nino. It's my flesh. And if you want to finish life strong, you need to fight the flesh. And when I say Nino, I'm not talking about the new man, the new creation, the Christian man. I'm talking about that old fleshly nature. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Maybe you're too holy, you don't get it, but you get it. You got to fight the flesh. Paul said, I die daily. He said, I have been crucified with Jesus Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. If you want to finish strong, you need to fight the flesh. The second thing that Paul said is this. He said, I have finished the race. People love to race, and especially my generation. There's a really interesting phenomenon that I've seen develop among the Gen X. They love to run marathons. You watch what's going to happen, man, when the snow comes again, and then Christmas comes, and everybody's going to overeat, and then here comes January, they're going to make a New Year's resolution. And you know what it's going to be? They're going to run a marathon. They're going to get pumped, man. They're going to be ready. They're going to go out. They're going to buy their little spandex pants and stuff, and they're going to buy their little running shirts. Don't put those pants on, by the way. They don't look good. I wish somebody would tell them all. You know what I mean? It's like, just don't wear them. You know what I mean? But they're going to think they look real sweet. They're going to put them on. They're going to start running. And they're going to all set a goal to run a marathon. They're going to get up and they're going to run that first day and they're going to practice. But what's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. Of all the people that set a goal to run a marathon, very few will ever finish it. And that's because we're great starters, but we're lousy finishers. And so you need to realize that this Christian life is a race. It's a marathon, man. And you need to pace yourself. And I realize that for many of you in here, your race has not been easy. It's been a hard race for some of you. And I know that, and God knows that. But I want to encourage you to have faith and to trust in Jesus Christ. If you will pace yourself and run this race, you can finish. And another way, you know, another way you can finish is by practicing in small things. You know, this message today, this sermon that I'm sharing, it's so big, and it kind of seems too hard to grasp, especially if you're young here. Now, for some of you, you're a little closer to the end than others, right? Some of you, amen. Hey, I'm about 75, 85. For some of you, young people in here looking at me thinking, finishing life, man, I just want to finish my homework, you know? What is this, finishing life? Well, listen. Let me give you some tips. You need to practice finishing well in small things. For example, let's say you're on the worship team here. By the way, great job, guys. You got a great worship team. Let's say you feel like the Lord is calling you to maybe be a greeter. Don't just ditch the worship team, okay? Finish strong. Maybe talk with the leader of the worship team. Let him or her know, hey, I'm thinking that maybe God's calling me to be a greeter. Can we pray about this? Can I raise up a successor to replace me? And pastor said, amen. You know, can I finish my position in ministry well? Right? If you can't finish a ministry position well, it's going to be hard to finish life well. Right? When you're at work and you have an assignment, finish it well, guys. Don't just do the minimum that you can do to get by. Do it to the best of your ability. If the boss says do A and B, what should you do? Do A, B, C, D, and E. Do it the best of your ability and finish strong, small things. I talk to young people all the time. Finish your homework, man. Finish the homework. Pick up your underwear off the floor. Pick your towel up, man. You know what I mean? This isn't complex, right? He does that. I mean, he picks it up. I mean, if you can't do that, finishing life's going to be pretty tough. So Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And then let's close with this. He said, I have kept the faith. I want to warn you of something here. And I've shared this message all across the state. And I think a lot of people will listen to this message and they'll leave. If you're not careful, they'll leave with the wrong impression. And here's what I mean. Some people, upon hearing this, will leave kind of feeling like insecure. Like, you know, yeah, you know, Nino talked about finishing life strong, but I can't do that. My dad was an alcoholic, and I'm going to do the same thing. You know, my mom deserted the kids, and I'm going to do that. You know, my dad could never hold down a job, and I'm going to be just like my dad. And, you know, and Satan will take what I'm sharing with you, and he'll twist it around and lie to you. And you'll feel like, man, I know this is true, but I can't do it. Let me explain something to you. If you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, I can't finish life strong, I want to free you up, okay? You ready? I'm going to free you up. You're right. You can't finish life strong on your own. But through Jesus Christ and faith in the Son of God, you can finish this thing strong. Paul said, I have kept the faith. It was not works that brought him across that finish line. It was faith. You see, one day, my life on earth, my ministry will be done, and I'm going to go into heaven. And there's going to be a great big ribbon there, and I'm going to come, I'm going to run, and I'm going to cross that ribbon. It'll probably be maize and blue, to be honest. And I don't know, we'll see. And when I get into heaven and I bust through that big finish line, all the grandstands of heaven are going to jump to their feet, right? Can you see it? There's going to be St. Paul and the Apostle Peter and Mary and the early church and the middle church and your church members and myriads upon myriads and angels. And they're going to jump up when I go across that finish line. And you know what they're not going to say? They're not going to get up there and go, Nino, Nino, Nino. That's how we cheer on races here on earth, right? But they're going to jump to their feet and they're going to cheer, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the one that picked me up and cleaned me up. He's the one that's going to bring me across that finish line. You can't do it on your own. Don't try to do it on your own. Man, you need to let Jesus Christ give you that victory. And when you get across that finish line, you're going to fall down and worship Him just like all the other saints and angels. And we're going to have the greatest party ever. So let me give you a challenge in closing. The choice is yours. And I say this with all seriousness. What will your legacy be? Will you be Bron Clifford? Chuck Templeton? Or Billy Graham? Will you choose to finish life strong through the grace of God and leave a legacy for your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, if Jesus waits that long to return? Let's choose well and let's finish strong. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate you. Thank you for allowing me to come and to speak with you. And thank you again, Pastor. I'll turn it over to you. But appreciate you guys and thanks for the opportunity. Thanks, Pastor. Appreciate it.
Wow, that was a good word, wasn't it? Yeah. Let's finish strong. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that you think is too late for you. Maybe you failed. You think that it's all over. want you to know that the Scripture tells us that anyone that's in Christ Jesus is a new creation. If you failed in your lifetime and you don't think there's any redemption, that's a lie. You can be set free today. You can start over. You can begin again right now, right this moment. I want to just take a moment to give you a chance to do that again. Let's all close our eyes and bow our heads for just a moment, shall we? Father, I just feel like there's somebody here this morning that needs to hear that message. You can finish strong. You don't have to be a failure. You have not gone beyond the point of redemption. If that's you this morning, would you just, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to finish strong this morning. I want to finish strong. Anybody like that right here? Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. Not too late. Yes. Thank you. 4, 5. Yes. All right. Yes. Number 6. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. I want you to stand with me right now. Father, you saw every hand that went up in this place, and I thank you for that, because it means that the Spirit of God is still alive in them. It's still moving. It's still prompting them, and they're hearing and they're obeying. God, that's the first step in being restored and finishing strong is obedience. So God, I pray that all those that raised their hands this morning would feel that power of the Holy Spirit in their life right now, that they would begin again and say, from this point on, I'm going to continue on. I'm going to finish strong. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give a big clap offering for those that did.